advancing pleasure. This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. The basketball season is over. The baseball season has begun. I'll tell you what, I'm trying to figure out what that one shining moment was for Michigan State last night. What a disappointment. But I guess when it all comes down to it, I think most of the folks that followed college basketball, folks we talked to on the show, folks on the national network, CBS, wherever you're looking at, it's just... Oh, a moment, thank you. Anyway, a lot of people, I believe, thought North Carolina was the best team. At the beginning of the year, people thought North Carolina could run the table. Some injuries, got beat once, then the injuries, then there was a little worry, will Ty Lawson be able to go? And I think that kind of worried a few people. A few people thought they could make it through with even Ty Lawson not being 100%, which I'm not sure they could have. But when you win all of your tournament games by 12 points or more, that's pretty impressive. And they just routed Michigan State. They were far and away the best team. It's just that the best team doesn't always win the NCAA tournament, but they did here in 2009. Doug and Daddy's show. Todd Gatula pinch hitting again today for Big Daddy, who's on vacation. This game was over 5 minutes into the contest.
Let me back up. This is one of those teams I remember back in late December, January, with a lot of season left to go. They pounded Duke, whenever it was. There was a little stretch there in the middle of the year, early middle of the year, where I remember looking at some guys and saying, whoa, these guys might just run the tables. I mean, they are that good. Anyway, fast forwarding. How good do they rank all time? Not to get into the big comparison. I don't always like doing that. But
the losses are going to hurt them.
But you've got to put them up there with some of the great.
Well, I don't know if anybody heard the Seth Davis segment this morning on Mike and Mike. He must have lost a car on the game last night. I've had that feeling before. He was very anti-congratulatory or gracious or whatever the word is you want to use towards North Carolina. Maybe that's because people were heaping praise on him for 3 hours this morning, and he just said enough is enough. These guys all returned. They're all seniors. Everybody else's kids left for the draft. They weren't playing as good a competition as people were playing in the past. You know, Tyler Hansborough, he should be in the pro with some of these other guys. Blah, 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 blah. He had Michigan State, evidently. Wow. It was pretty sad. But outside of that, give North Carolina their due. I thought, 10-15 minute segment this morning talking about the national championship game. North Carolina kicked Michigan State's ass, and that has nothing to do with the great run that Michigan State made through the tournament and came out. And
they're outmanned from the start. Blame it on poor shooting, blame it on this and that. It's because of North Carolina, man.
I'm not sure the AP final poll is out yet, and that should be a little bit later. Who do you vote number two?
I'll give it to Michigan State.
I said it a week ago. I'll say it again. I said they came out of the toughest region. I vote the number two team in the country, Oklahoma. Number one, North Carolina. Number two, Oklahoma. I thought Oklahoma played them tougher than anybody in the tournament. And I know you can't throw away the first five-minute stretch of that game. And Michigan State played them tough in the second half. But keeping it between 8 and 10 points the whole game is a lot different than keeping it between 18 and 24 like the Michigan State Spartans did in the second half last night. Just couldn't make that one. They forced some three-pointers. They had chances to get it to 13 or 12 and just kept throwing up bad, quick shots with 10 minutes left in the game. And I know it would have been really something to ask, but they went three straight trips down the floor, took bad shots, and remained, it was either, I think it was 15 down, and missed three straight times. So did North Carolina when they had alleys to the basket where they could have got two-point buckets. That cuts it down to 10 or 9. They missed every one of those shots, and it's still a 15-point game. North Carolina didn't pull away. That was the one chance they had to get back in the ball game. But I think Oklahoma, I have not been a fan of Pitt. Michigan State beats Connecticut. That puts them a little bit farther down. I thought Connecticut was the second best number one seed behind North Carolina, then Connecticut, then Louisville, then Pitt. I think Oklahoma.
You wonder if the pollsters will just do that typical look at the final four and base their rankings, you know, and then do your top four with your final four and then fill everybody else in. They tend to do that a lot of times. Not that that's the right way, but.
It will be interesting. Yeah, it's a lot of people outside of the actual school don't care after number one. So we'll find out. Got a packed show for you today. Brian Rosenthal from the Lincoln Journal-Star going to join us in about 3 minutes here to talk about the game last night and about two Nebraska basketball players leaving the program. And, you know, things that I just want to say on the air that aren't politically correct. And so I just picked this thing up with Cookie Miller. What is he, 19? He's got two kids. He's from West Virginia. His niece or his cousin gets shot and killed in a Taco Bell. He wants to go home to be closer to his family. I'm just going, what in the hell is going on? Why? Time and time. Why aren't we wiser than this? And now I have to leave Nebraska. I have no idea where I'm going to school. But I'm going to leave Nebraska.
Okay? The best place he could probably be is in Lincoln, Nebraska, rather the streets of wherever the heck he's going.
I can understand being with the family, but and he starts 46 of 60 games, and he is on his way out. And then Alonzo Edwards is also going to be leaving the program. So we'll talk with Brian in just a moment about that. Texas head baseball coach Augie Garrido is going to join us. It looks like in the last segment of the program today, we'll be joined by him. And then Glenn Snodgrass, one of the assistant Shrine Bowl coaches, is going to join us. The rosters were released yesterday, and we will catch up with Glenn about some of the kids that have made it from the area and what he's looking forward to, and maybe just an overall look at the talent level going into the Shrine Bowl coming up this July. But we'll also take a look and reveal the winner of the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge. I think maybe one of our winners has got a handle on this. But I also saw a lot of people's second and third entries are the ones that did well. By sheet of integrity, I do think I won the show, though. I think I beat Daddy. I think I beat Derek. I'm not going to say it was in the top 30 because I had Connecticut to win it all, but That's all. It's just the small victories. It's the small victories. That's what we go with. And we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show from the Lincoln Journal-Star covering the Huskers is Brian Rosenthal. And Brian, good morning. Thanks for giving us some time.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Brian, let's start first off with the national championship game last night. You anticipate coming in on a day like this and getting to talk about all the great things. Well, it just comes down to North Carolina playing as well as any team could possibly have played last night. Your thoughts on watching that game?
Well, in watching that game, the only thing I could think of is, God, how do these guys lose four games? I mean, they looked really good. I mean, nobody really sniffed in that entire tournament. They were dominant from beginning to end. And, you know, they're an experienced team. And, you know, at the very end, I guess you kind of expect that. But, you know, they had some bumps during the season. And, you know, maybe in the long run, that's what they needed to get them refocused and everything. But clearly they're the best team in college basketball. The best team won that tournament, and decisively so.
Brian, we just had a quick debate here. Who would you vote number two if you had a vote?
Who would I vote number two? Oh, wow.
I made an argument for Oklahoma. Todd Gatula's filling in for Big Daddy today. He thought Michigan State. Maybe you got somebody else.
Well, I think either of those teams. I think UConn's a pretty good team myself. I think they're pretty good. Obviously, Michigan State beat them, though. But, you know, if you look at the grand scheme of things throughout the season, I think you could probably make an argument for them. But, yeah, I'd probably go with Oklahoma. They're one of the teams that ran into that North Carolina buzzsaw and got the player of the year. And, had a great season. So, yeah, it's I guess really haven't really thought about that, to be honest with you.
See, Brian Rosenthal from Lincoln Journal Star for agreeing with me, the co-host of this show. You win a Doug and Daddy T-shirt and a free pizza. So there you go. That's and you know.
Well, my first pick was UConn, but they lost to a team that was in the championship. So I guess that's probably not right.
But. What do we know, right?
Well, yeah, who knows?
Let's get to the story at hand. We had Sip on talking spring football last week, and he threw out, "Hey, there's going to be some changes with the Nebraska basketball team because at the moment, or at the time, they were over scholarship limit. That came to pass yesterday. Not so surprising about Alonzo Edwards. A little surprising about Cookie Miller. Just your thoughts on these two transferring, and I guess the totally different circumstances that they both faced."
Yeah, I think to the general public, the announcement that Cookie's seeking a transfer is kind of a surprise or a shock. If you've been reading between the lines and if you really follow the team closely, it probably isn't that much of a surprise. Cookie thought about this at the end of last year. He's got a lot of family issues he's been dealing with, and you know, when you got two kids under the age of two, as Cookie does, that tends to divide your attention a little bit, and I think that's a large part of it. He said yesterday, he told me, you know, he's got a big family back home, and he'd rather play at a school closer to home where they could see him play more often. But I think a lot of it has to do with his children and caring for them. And, you know, like I said, he thought about this after last year and decided that he should, you know, give it at least another year, and out of loyalty to Doc and loyalty to his teammates in the program. And, you know, and then he had a cousin who was shot and killed, and you know, then the birth of his daughter, and it's just a couple more reminders that, hey, maybe family's more important. You know, that's not 100% why he's leaving, I don't think, but I think that has a large part to do with it. And when you saw a couple weeks ago, or I guess last week, when Doc got an oral commitment from a point guard, and it had been known publicly that he'd been pursuing a point guard, I think if you read between the lines, you probably saw this coming.
All right, I was going to ask if there's a little more to it. It always, you know, sounds good to hear that the family story and the kid's committed to going back and taking care of his personal life, but wondering just how much maybe between the lines there was, as you touched on there, with bringing in some new guys at his position, and did he maybe see the writing on the wall where he was going to see some reduced minutes, et cetera?
Well, I think it's the other way around. I think Doc saw the writing on the wall and said, hey, I don't know that Cookie's going to be here next year. I need to go out and find a point guard. I think everybody's reading it the other way. And everybody wants to look at the worst of these situations and think that Doc ran Cookie off, and I don't think that's the case. Now, I will say this: if Cookie was 6'2" and, you know, 200 pounds and all Big 12 point guard, I think maybe Doc would have done a little bit more encouraging and maybe found some daycare for Cookie's kids. But to sit here and say that the Doc ran Cookie off and Cookie saw the writing in the wall because Doc's out there recruiting a point guard behind his back, that's not true. I mean, that's not how this happened. Like I said, Cookie thought about this last year, and I think Doc saw that, hey, Cookie's got these personal problems. Well, not necessarily problems, I should say, but issues. And he's got to take care of those. And it was an issue throughout last season. I mean, he missed one of Nebraska's non-conference losses. They lost at home by 2 points to Maryland Baltimore County. He didn't play that game because he was there for the birth of his daughter. And, you know, some things are more important. But, you know, that wasn't the only issue. I mean, it cropped up several times throughout the year, and where family had to come first for Cookie, and he wasn't able to give his full attention to the basketball team. And I think Doc was probably bothered by that a little bit, too. I won't say that, you know, he didn't have some issues with that, too. But, you know, it's a situation, I think, where Doc saw that Cookie was probably going to make this move, and that's why he started the point guard recruiting process.
Let's touch on Alonzo here real quick. I was a bit surprised, being in the program and young and having a lot of eligibility left, that he maybe made the judgment call that he wasn't going to get playing time or he wanted more playing time, when really redshirt freshmen don't get a lot of playing time typically. Like, how did he know what his role is going to be if you don't really give it a chance? Do you feel like he gave it enough of a chance, or is it that obvious what direction he was going with the program? I guess tell us a little more about him. He was a little bit more of an unknown, obviously, than Cookie.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line with Alonzo is he wasn't that good. I mean, he wasn't. Let's put it this way: Nebraska's biggest problem last year was what? they had no height, right? Okay.
A lot of no height.
How tall is Alonzo Edwards?
Not tall enough, Brian.
Well, he's not tall enough, but he's the tallest player they had on that team, aside from, you know, Chris Bolin, who couldn't play. Point being, he's a 6'8 kid on the roster. Nebraska needs a 6'8 kid to play, and he didn't play. I mean, I think that pretty much tells you all you need to know right there is that he wasn't getting it. And, it'd be different maybe if he was a true freshman, but, like you said, he'd been in the program a year. But the bottom line is he just wasn't going to cut it here, and he knew that. And I would assume that he and Doc had to sit down, and Doc said, "Look, he needed him to step up this year, and he could." Now you're right. I mean, there are situations where players don't give it enough time, and they get impatient and say they want to leave. I think this is a situation where Doc encouraged him to say, encouraged him to move along and say, "Look, we'd like to have you here, and you're welcome to stay here, but I don't see you getting more playing time," because that was, from the get-go, I think personally, a recruiting mistake by Doc. I don't think that Alonzo was probably on this level. He'll probably go to a JUCO, play a year, and then maybe find a spot on a smaller Division I team after that. That's my opinion.
Brian Rosenthal, the Lincoln Journal Star. Well, you got him for just another minute, then he's off to a very important meeting there. Brian, Nebraska is having problems. It seems like they're getting some commitments for some post players and some big guys. And then you got, Robert Sally, you got Neiman going down, you got injuries. Where are they at right now?
Well, they're better than they have been. You know, Neiman was injured, but the good news about him, it was a clean tear of the ACL. He had no other ligament damage, which means that he can start his rehab process sooner and expect a quicker recovery. I don't know that he'll be 100% come October, but he'll be close. I don't expect him to miss a lot of time next year. He'll be here. Diaz is here, so you already have a 6'10 and a 6'11 guy. They'll sign the 6'8, 6'7, 6'8 forward, Quincy Hankins, the JUCO kid. So they will be bigger next year.
Brian, last question before we let you go, because this is the bottom line of what fans want to know. With the roster Nebraska currently has, is this going to be a better basketball team next year?
Well, somebody asked me that yesterday, and I said I would expect a similar season to last year. It's hard to say because there are so many new players, and it'll be such a different look. You want to say yes, they'll be better, but and you've got to wonder about chemistry and both on the court and off the court when you have this much turnover. I think they'll have better players, and I think given time, Doc will get them better. But I don't expect a dramatic improvement next year. The year after, not only do I expect it, but they need to have it in year 5 under Doc. Next year's probably another transition year, and it seems like you're always saying that with this program. But I wouldn't expect a lot different than what we saw this year.
And a follow-up to my final question, do you know, did Doc get it, did his phone ring at all with any of the coaching vacancies this spring?
No, I don't think so. Not to my knowledge, and I'd be surprised if it did. For one thing, I don't know that any of the coaching vacancies were necessarily a fit for him. He's not really looking right now. I think given... the jury's still out on him. I don't think he's a hot name right now, so I'd be surprised. I haven't heard that, and I'd be surprised if it happened.
Hey, Brian, thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy your meeting.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care. Brian Rosenthal talking national championship basketball and, of course, breaking down the departures of Cookie Miller and Alonzo Edwards from the Nebraska basketball team. I think this basketball team, Todd, is kind of in the spot the football team is. You expect them to be better, but maybe both overshot what some expectations were by just a little bit this year. And, Nebraska had an 8-8 conference record. That's going to be tough to match next year.
Yeah, and I don't think with Nebraska basketball, it's always better based on wins and losses. We can't continue to win 5 and 6 games in the conference. With that said, I think Doc's bought himself some time. Not that he needed time, but he has the patience of the fans, I think, for the most part. Based on the effort the guys are giving on the floor, just some little things we didn't see under Collier and other coaching staffs, they are getting better. Whether that means it's only getting beat by 12 on the road at Kansas as opposed to 28 or winning a road game you're not supposed to. I mean, they're winning some they're not supposed to occasionally. They're just showing up and playing, and the effort's there. I think in Nebraska, that's what the fans and people want first and foremost, is to see the effort, the attention to detail, you know, and this team, his teams have shown that they're willing to do that. At some point, it's going to have to translate into a lot of wins and getting into the tournament. But right now, I think people are okay with the progress they've seen.
We hope. Let's beat Kansas once, huh?
Here's late-breaking news from the world of sports on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, and it became official this morning. The Tri-City Storm have announced their new head coach, Drew Shenick. He is 35 years old from Abbey, Saskatchewan. Been involved in hockey his whole life, playing at the junior, college, and minor league level as a defenseman. Shenick began coaching as an assistant at the junior level in the WHL, World Hockey League, right there. World?
Yes.
Owner Kirk Brooks met Shenick in 2004 as an assistant of the Las Vegas Wranglers of the ECHL. He was the former coach of the year in the Manitoba Junior League and a one-time head coach of the BCHL's Powell River Kings. Now, his last gig, as we told you yesterday, was with the Prince George Cougars of the WHL. This is a coach. Now, that's all from the press release from the Storm. Now, from our side, here's a coach you're bringing in that was fired his last time out, but has a very good relationship with Kirk Brooks. And one of those things where they were going in the right direction, and then all of a sudden, bam, bad things happen, get rid of coach. They got rid of him midway through the season last year when he was 10-18, and now he is looking to get back in and take over this USHL franchise with a lot of work to do. Shenick is not here as of yet, and we will be efforting to have the new coach, Shenick, join us for some comments on the Doug and Daddy Show this week. But your thoughts, this isn't a total surprise because his was one of the names that was all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, from what we can tell, I think he's a good coach. I mean, we'll just see. That firing, I don't know if I put a lot of stock into that. As we all know, ownership can have a lot of different opinions on the way a team should be run compared to a GM or coach. And from reading a little bit about when he was let go back in December, it was more of a philosophical difference. He left on good terms with the ownership. It was just more of some things that he had implemented in the program away from the X's and O's weren't necessarily in agreement with the ownership. It was just kind of one of those. They decided to part ways. The owner and him didn't see really eye to eye. Don't know the details of it really, but it was just more of a implementation of his philosophy that ownership didn't agree with. And like I said, as we know, owners can be quite a gamut of what owners think. But he has a strong playing career. You look at his stats and his career as a player, doesn't make you a good coach, but he obviously knows the game from a player's perspective. I want to see what the roller hockey thing is about. Played 2 years of roller hockey, it says. But he comes from some pretty recognizable leagues in the WHL and those that are some higher leagues than the Storm in terms of talent level. The players are paid. They're considered semi-professional teams. So he's been around the game, I guess. We're not bringing in some guy that's just completely raw.
Shenick, Drew Shenick, 35, married, 3-year-old son Connor. He also, and I say also because they want to build from the back up, starting with goalie and then defense. He's defensive-minded. Coach Rudrud was defensive-minded. I think you look at this team, it had been defensive-minded for quite a while. Derek, you're out there all the time.
Yeah, I think they've been defensive-minded for a while as well, but, I mean, hey, any coach preaching defense is fine with me, I guess.
There you go. So Drew Shenick, the new coach of the Tri-City Storm. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, Texas coach Augie Garrido. We're going to announce our winner of the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge, and when we come back, the Shrine High School football game. We'll talk with Overton coach Glenn Snodgrass in a minute.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam. Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Oh, sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a Trane.
Have an itch that needs to be scratched? Well, here's where you get relief. Eagle Crest Homes, West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Decided against that Honolulu or Paris vacation this year, huh? Well, then take several small vacations to state or national parks in your new camper from Eagle Crest. Fifth wheels to fold downs, Eagle Crest has them all and more, like new Nebraska Strong custom-built Bonavilla homes starting as low as $84.9. So scratch your camper or your new home itch at Eagle Crest, West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest Homes, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
If anxiety or outright fear of dentists has caused you to avoid proper dental care, and your smile has fallen into a state of long-term neglect, our team is here to help you. I'm Dr. Michael Bryson with Metalark Dental Associates and have served the Tri-City area for 30 years. Sedation dentistry is good news. With sedation dentistry, proven procedures can be performed as you relax in comfort. We can accomplish more in a single visit, reducing the number of appointments needed to restore your smile. Don't let anxieties and fears about a dental appointment keep you from achieving good dental health and a spectacular smile.
For more about Dr. Michael Bryson's sedation dentistry, log on to MeadowlarkDental.com, MeadowlarkDental.com, or call for an appointment at 308-234-3668, 308-234-3668. Do it today for a brighter smile tomorrow.
If you have a teenager ready to drive, visit with your local Farmers Union insurance agent, Tad Adil. Farmers Union Insurance has a discount program for qualifying young drivers, which combines the good student with driver's training for a possible 12% discount on your auto premium. Ask Tad Adil for a Farmers Union Insurance Young Driver Packet. Together, we're helping build stronger communities by helping our teens be more responsible drivers and by saving you money.
Need tickets? Need to sell tickets? Or cars? Or stuff out of the basement or garage? Become a super fan and you can post them on free classifieds. Click on to find the deals too. ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Become a super fan today.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures will head up into the mid-50s for highs with a west wind of around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear conditions prevail tonight, upper 20s for low with a west wind around 5 to 10. Sunshine again in the forecast for Wednesday with a high around 60. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy's show, Todd Gutiel of the Kearney Hub, pinch hitting for Big Daddy. Getting his tan on somewhere in the lower portion of the northern hemisphere is where I'm going with that, by the way. 1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Glenn Snodgrass of Overton going to join us here in just a moment. But we have a pretty full day of live activity. Opening day for the Royals rained slash snowed out yesterday, so they're going to make that up today, a scheduled off day. So they'll play today, tomorrow, Thursday. Once again, ESPN, your home for the Royals. 1:05 first pitch and 12:30 pregame coming up here on ESPN. Then tonight, the Women's National Championship, Connecticut and Louisville. But a lot of baseball got underway yesterday. Oh, Cub fans.
A lot of people say you can tell how the season's going to go by the first hitter of the year.
This is his ninth straight opening day start. This fly ball hits for left field and deep. Carlos Lee won't be able to play it. And Alfonso Soriano has led off the game with a home run.
Well, that's something that Alfonso Soriano does quite a bit.
It's number 50 of his career and leadoff homers.
Really knocked the crap out of that one.
Well, maybe things will turn around a little this year.
You to know that the Cubs were, they went 6:05 and the game moved along pretty good, so it overlapped just a little bit with the NCAA tournament. So when you head to your favorite place to watch the games, and you can watch multiple ones after the win, the predictions of 162-0 did begin, and thus then I chanted 0-162 for the Yankees, who were thumped last night with their $1 billion boy CC Sabathia against the Baltimore Orioles. So the Cubs win. They're 1-0. The Braves are 1-0. The Yankees are 0-1. And the Royals are not below 500. I couldn't be much happier with the way baseball has started.
Stop it now.
Glenn Snodgrass joins us live from the Overton weight room. Good morning, Glenn.
Morning, Doug.
How's it going?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just getting ready to eat some dinner.
Are you a Cub fan?
Not really. I'd kind of like to see him, you know, win one sometime this century, I guess, but not necessarily a big fan.
Hey, breaking news out of Kansas. Ryan Luke named the area coach of the year. Thought you'd want to know that.
Well, that's good to hear. I just talked to him this weekend.
I'll try and forward that riveting story your way.
All right.
Hey, the Shrine Bowl, we knew who the coaches would be a ways back, and we got a chance to chat with you, and congratulations. We do that again, but now the rosters are out, and more of the area kids, it seems to be this way, and maybe you can explain this first off. The Grand Island kids are on the north squad, and just about everybody else from our listening area is on the south squad. Start there with where the division comes with who plays where.
Well, the division kind of changes a little bit every year, I think, just to make things fair. You know, for example, here at Overton, we're in the south, and Lexington, which is 9 miles down the road, is on the north squad. So the line is definitely not a straight line. It's kind of zigzags all over the state to kind of make things fair. So it's like I said, it's kind of a zigzagging line.
Who were some of the kids, and we have went over this time and time again the last couple, 3 years, that some of the state's top players or Division I players declined invitations. I know there were some of those. Can you tell the folks, maybe a couple kids, if there were, that declined to play?
Well, yeah, there were several of them, that, and I think we probably were hit worse than the North squad was, but C.J. Zimmer at Omaha Gross, I mean, he just looked tremendous on film. He, you know, out of all the kids we looked at, he is just he's a stud. And he tried to play in the University of Nebraska. The staff actually did a great job, much better than previous staffs, of trying to work it out so he could play with us. But in the end, it just didn't work out for him. But like I said, the university coaching staff worked real well with us there. Darrell Hawkins is a wide receiver and DB out of Omaha Central, who's another kid who's just amazing. And he ended up signing with Oregon State, I believe, and so he's not going to be able to make it. So, and then obviously Tyrone Sellers out of McCook. He's he's a tremendous athlete too, and University of Kansas really didn't want to allow him to play at all. So three kids right there that are amazing kids that ended up being left off.
I guess we've beat it to a dead horse. I think everybody would love to see these kids get a chance to play. Obviously, it opens up three more roster spots. Let's start with the kid from our area, and let's start with your own. Usually, if you're coaching, you're going to be able to take at least one of your kids, and you are taking Drew Carr. Tell us about the plans for Drew in the Shrine Bowl.
Well, kind of going into this, I told myself and the that I wasn't going to take one of my kids just for taking my kids. I wanted to make sure he was worthy of going, and Drew's had a tremendous career and been a tremendous eight-man football player for 4 years. So after we went through the whole roster and watched a lot of film, I kind of thought that, man, there's no reason why he doesn't deserve to be on this list. And so in the end, I didn't even really push for him. The other coaches suggested that we take him, and I was definitely very, very happy to have that. So I didn't think it'd be fair to him to take him just because he's, an Overton player and I'm a coach. So he earned his way into this game.
Glenn Snodgrass joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're talking about the Shrine Bowl here. When you have not played against or seen other kids play except for on film, and when an eight-man coach is looking at 11 and vice versa, that doesn't happen very often. But you did know a little bit about the Arapaho young man and Dylan Brining.
Yeah, Dylan Brining's tremendous. I mean, looking at him and comparing him to a lot of the bigger school kids, there's just not much of a difference. I think Dylan could have played almost anywhere in the state, and he was a kind of a lock right from the beginning. He's kind of a physical specimen, and and he's got some speed, and he's just a real good kid. So yeah, he was kind of a lock right off the bat, and I didn't have to do any campaigning for him. I think all the coaches kind of knew he was a player.
Among the bruisers from our area, I would have to include our Cody Carr from Blue Hill, the state champions, and Brady Roeder from Kearney. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, another two just great kids, And one of the things we really look at is the character of the kids. And talking to the coaches, those were two of the boys that, their coaches just raved about them and, said what, great students, great citizens in the, in their communities. And they were kind of locks right off the bat when you got a combination of, good area kids and good football players and also real good kids on top of it. So we're real excited about having a lot of kids like that on our roster. And Coach Gross was kind of adamant right off the bat that, you know, he didn't want to take any kids that were, you know, going to cause problems and not, you know, kids that were going to represent our team in a bad way. So there were some pretty good athletes that were left off because of that, and probably some athletes that were much better than some that we have that were left off because maybe they didn't weren't the best, maybe got into some trouble during their high school career, things like that. But yeah, those two boys you mentioned, they're two of the standout citizens that we have on our list.
As a coach, how much do you guys, how far out do you start preparing and getting ready and putting things together in terms of offenses and defenses you're going to run the games July 25th at Memorial Stadium? So obviously lots of time, but just kind of curious from a coaching perspective when you guys start kind of putting your heads together and coming up with a little bit of a plan on how you want to do things.
Well, when I got selected, they didn't tell me who the rest of the staff was, and so I was kind of hoping it would be Coach Gross because I knew he hadn't been the head coach yet. And then I found out it was Coach Gross out of McCook, and I was very excited because, you know, he's one of the best coaches in this state in any class, and he has definitely shown so far that he's not afraid to put time in and put work in. We met four different times working on the roster, and we poured through just a ton of video and made a lot of phone calls to make sure that we had the correct players that we needed. And we're going to start working on, we've already got a good idea of what we want to do as far as scheme based on our personnel that we got, but we're going to start meeting in May, and Coach Gross and I are going to work on the offense, and Coach Nordius from Syracuse and Coach Terman from Omaha, they're going to work on the defense. So starting in May, we go to a camp down there, a lineman camp in McCook. So Coach Gross and I are going to really start working on things and hammering stuff out then. So I'm really looking forward to working with him because I'm taking this as a learning experience, and I'm going to get a lot of good stuff from those other three coaches.
Hey, Glenn, just looking at the rosters, offense, defense, what do you think? How's this game going to match up on the field?
Well, you mentioned those Division I guys that it was really a shame we didn't get. But, you know, with the guys we got, I think we got a great group. You know, we got some outstanding running backs. We got two of the fastest kids in the state, Coleman Dedema Schulte from Millard West, I think was a 100-meter champion last year in Class A. And then Michael Burris from Papillion South is another just outstanding running back. So I think we got two of the best running backs there is. And, you know, overall, top to bottom, I'm very happy with our roster. You know, Matt Berry from McCook has, you know, been a perennial All-State kid down there, and he's, you know, going to be quarterback. And then this Tyler Seals from Bellevue West is another great quarterback. So we've got some tremendous talent. You know, I just saw the North roster the other day, and I think we match up really well with them. So even without those Division I guys who couldn't play, I'm really excited about the guys we got.
Well, Glenn, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Congratulations. We'll be catching up with you again as we get closer to camp, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Glenn Snodgrass, head coach of the Overton Eagles and one of the coaches for the South squad led by Jeff Gross. Craig Lathrop of Kearney also going to be coaching. This is the first year that they are incorporating true assistant coaches in the Shrine game. It used to be you'd have a head coach pick three or four other head coaches as your assistants. Craig goes in as a true assistant coaches, and I'll tell you what, no matter what sport you have, if you're the head coach, you know the value and the importance of the assistant coaches. And we are pleased to just keep rolling on with the Doug and Daddy Show here and take you live to Austin, Texas this morning, where we are joined by the winningest coach in college baseball history as the Texas Longhorns get ready to make a trip to Lincoln. They're 20-8 on the season, ranked ninth in the country. And Augie Garrido joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. It is always a pleasure. Coach, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. Pleased good. To have you. I can't believe how quick time rolls around in the baseball season. But
here we are, huh?
It's your turn, man.
Yeah, we just snuck up on you, right? We were disguised under the umbrella of March Madness there for a month, but now it's the spotlight is on us.
Well, Coach, let's get right into a little baseball talk here. 20-8 on the season, and just one little hiccup in the middle of the road there with some tightly contested ball games against Kansas, which I guess opened everybody's eyes how great this conference is. But your thoughts right now on where your ball club is?
Sure. I think, first of all, I would like to start with the conference. I think the conference is the best it's ever been. We've got several really high quality pitchers, and the teams every weekend were starting to function as a conference from top to bottom at the same level as the SEC and the ACC and the Pac-10. And that's good news in some ways. We're beating each other up, and the parity is obvious. The fans aren't used to that, especially here in Texas or Nebraska, where we've both had our way with championships in the past, and they're expected at both universities at a very high level and in every sport. But in baseball, the parity is really here, and so Mike and I are suffering through trying to explain why we lose any game, much less several games. So we're sitting 6-6. That's the bad news in the conference. The good news in the conference is we play everybody that's ahead of us. So this is the last extremely difficult challenge on the road for us. We will go to A&M and we will go to Baylor, but in bits and pieces and not for extended stays. So we start a long homestand with Oklahoma after the Nebraska series, and we're hoping that we can gear up the offense. We're certainly not a powerful team, but we do have the potential in the lineup to score more consistently than we have been. Our pitching has, been very good. It's been excellent, and the defense behind it has been very good. So, like everyone else, it's about the moment you play in that affects the whole process. And so that's kind of a summary of what we need to do is bring balance to the offense, where we're using all four segments of the offense at a very high level of efficiency, and then we'll be all right.
Augie, give us your scouting report, I guess, on Nebraska as you head into this series. They've obviously had their share of struggles here recently, especially on the mound. Just interested to hear your take heading into that series.
Well, I think that we have a tendency to bring out the best in people, and I would expect Mike and his staff to be ready for a turnaround and see this as an opportunity to build some momentum for his team. And we feel the same way. All of us are at about the halfway point now, and whatever struggles they've encountered, the key to it is your coaches in Nebraska will do a good job of turning that into a learning experience, and the team will get better from it. You look at what Oregon State did 2 years ago to win the national championship after having a miserable season, and then last year it was Fresno State. Both of those teams for the past 2 years were teams that struggled immensely during the regular season and had little or no hope of even getting into the championships, much less winning the national championship. So that's how things go in this sport. You don't win them all. You sure as heck try, but you don't. And I'm sure Mike and his staff will have the team ready. They always have. They always will. So it'll be a big weekend for everybody involved. I personally, I'm closely attached to what goes on with your great university in that area, because Omaha has been so important in my life, and so we're looking forward to coming, but we expect a championship series to be played between the two teams this weekend.
Texas head baseball coach Augie Garrido joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, Coach, I'll tell you what, the matchup might not be so well for it's definitely heavy in your favor if your kids keep pitching the way they are. This is a team that can make it to Omaha. The three starters all under 3.0 ERA, and maybe the bats aren't where you want them to be, and you could heal that this weekend too. But, boy, what a pitching staff you have assembled at least so far.
Yeah, it's been the best one that we've had here at the university. Skip Johnson is our pitching coach and focuses on the recruiting of the pitchers. He helps Coach Harmon with all of the recruiting. However, that's he is the one that finally approves or disapproves of who we bring in. And we're very excited about the two recruiting classes that he has brought to the university. We have three sophomores in the starting rotation right now. and they're doing very well and have a lot of room for continued growth, which is very positive about each one of them as well. Chance Ruffin and Brandon Workman and Cole Green are the three starters. They're all right-handed. But we also have Taylor Youngman, who is pitching with experience and great poise as a freshman, along with Austin DeSherry, who has been a little bit under the radar because he hasn't pitched in as many big games because he was overcoming a tired arm as a result of the high school season and the summer season, and got a little bit of a late start, but has found his groove as well. And we're pretty high on a third freshman at this point who pitched two shutout innings in a must-win game Sunday against Oklahoma State, Andrew McCarahan. And so you take the six pitchers that have emerged and add Austin Wood, who has been a dynamite closer. I don't know if you guys noticed how he finished the Sunday game, but in a must-win game for us at Stillwater under very difficult conditions, he struck out the last seven hitters of the game to close the game. So he's been a Houston Street Jay Brent Cox-type closer as well. So we have seven pitchers that are on top their game, and that is a blessing, and we're really thankful for all that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sunday's game was televised, and what a finish it was in cold, cold conditions. Augie Garrido joins us for just another minute. And I guess, Augie, are you concerned at all about the offense right now? As great as your pitching is, the offense as a team still a little bit below 300, which is unusual as well for a Longhorn team.
Well, we are concerned with it. We've certainly, I think when you're not hitting as well as you can, then the pressure starts to build. But we have our leading hitter, Russell Moldenauer, way below his marks. Brandon Belt is below where he normally performs. And I think that we're focusing more on total offense and run scoring to take the pressure off of the hitting. We're just putting way too much pressure on ourselves to produce a hit. We had 13 singles in the game, and that's a good sign for me because now we're just up there hitting the ball where it's pitched, trying to put it into play, and concentrating on all of the elements of baseball to score runs. The most difficult skill in all of sport, according to Sports Illustrated, is hitting a baseball. And if that's the case, you don't want to back yourself into that corner, and it's easy to do that over the hitting to win the games. You want to use base running and all elements of base running. You want to use bunting and all of the elements of the bunting game to advance your runners and score your runners and get on base. And you want to use your bat control skills to make productive outs. So we're trying to bring balance to our offense and not put a focus on the hitting because we've put way too much pressure on ourselves. And that's the only, these kids do not forget how to hit. They do the same thing major league players do to themselves. So they start to try, and when they start to try, they fail. And when they fail, they try harder. And the harder they try, the worse it gets. Ask any golfer.
I golf a lot, so that must be exactly what the problem is, Coach.
That is exactly what the problem is. The two games are very similar in that they reveal every fiber of your heart, soul, and character. It just totally unmasks whoever the player might be, and that's why I don't play golf. I already have one game that does that to you. Why take on another one?
I'll tell you what, the heart condition is enough, and we are looking forward to it. It's always fun with Texas coming up to Lincoln, and Coach, we always appreciate the time you give us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good luck tonight against TCU, and we'll see you in Lincoln.
All right. Well, I'm always on the Cornhusker side, except when it's against the Longhorns. So much love to you guys. Take care.
Hear you. Thanks, Coach. Bye-bye. The winningest manager in college baseball history, and in a good mood today, Augie Garrido. The only time they have to leave Austin, Texas, all month is this week to come to Lincoln. They are home the rest of the time. He mentioned that with their non-conference games and then home series with Oklahoma and Kansas State, and then they split that series with Baylor every year. They
play one at home and two on the road, vice versa, year to year. We had back-to-back great interviews there. Hope you enjoyed it. We need to take a break. As we go to break, it's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, people. 1-888-455-ESPN. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible to win a $25 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats. Can't get any better. Freshest Smokehouse. Got the sausages coming out today. Carrie's over there just going crazy after that North Carolina win. Getting ready for the women's game tonight. The Frozen Four later this week. Baseball season. Opening day for the Royals. Here is your trivia question. Augie Garrido, the winningest manager in baseball history, when he took his 1,428th career win, June 9th, 2003, it was a 6-5 Texas victory over this number one team in the country in an NCAA Super Regional. I'll even give you a hint. They're out of the ACC. Where and who did Augie Garrido and his Texas team beat in his 1,428th win, which made him the winningest manager in the history of college baseball? What team did they beat out of the ACC? 1-888-455-ESPN. We're back after this.
After listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, many people are heard to mutter,
"Who are those guys?"
Those guys, we'll be right back. If you're going to open a restaurant inside of a restaurant, number one, you better have a good reason. And number two, it better be good. On second thought, forget about number one. It better be good. And good it is at the new Savory's located right inside Texas T-Bone. Check out Savory's for lunch and enjoy crispy, crunchy, meaty chicken strips that taste like nothing you tasted before. Or thick, juicy, scrumptious tri-tip sirloin, plus six different salad choices and more. Today, make it Savory's for lunch and Texas T-Bone for dinner, both at 1201 South Locust in Grand Island.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. 22. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures will head up into the mid-50s for highs with a west wind of around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear conditions prevail tonight, upper 20s for low with a west wind around 5 to 10. Sunshine again in the forecast for Wednesday with a high around 60. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 43.
And Coco Crisp will be playing center field today for your Kansas City Royals. Tomorrow, from the Royals Radio Network, Steve Stewart will be joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to preview the season. Rick Sutcliffe last night picked the Royals to win the Central. A lot more people are starting to pick the Royals to win the Central. I'm a little worried about that, but we did have a winner. Who was our winner today, Derek, and knew that Augie Garrido and Texas defeated then number one Florida State during an NCAA Super Regional in Tallahassee to become the winningest coach in college baseball history back in 2003.
Andy from Kearney knew it. We had guesses of North Carolina, Miami. I think we had another guess mixed in there. LSU was mixed in there as well, but Andy knew it.
Congratulations. Our winner of the NCAA, Doug and Daddy, Tournament Challenge, when we come back after this. That's right. That was a short Jim Rome break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I'll be back in a moment.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you. I wish I were.
Indian Head Golf Course, the first golf course to bring the global positioning system to the Tri-Cities area, presents Demo Day. On April 17th, from 4 to 7 p.m., come to Indian Head Golf Course and hit clubs from the best of Mizuno, Titleist, Cobra, Ping, Cleveland, Callaway, Nike, Tour Edge, and TaylorMade. This is a great opportunity to try the newest and some of the best clubs on the market. Come check out how they can improve your game. For more information, call 308-381-4653. Indian Head Golf. Where the fun begins.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures will head up into the mid-50s for highs with a west wind of around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear conditions prevail tonight, upper 20s for low with a west wind around 5 to 10. Sunshine again in the forecast for Wednesday with a high around 60. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Wow, what a show today. Unbelievable.
Tony Davis.
I don't even know who he is.
He played football for the Huskers in the 70s.
God, it is. I want to tell you a little secret about the show that we haven't told a lot of people. Now, you know, tough Tony Davis. So when Tony makes connections for the show or lines up some interviews, which he does a lot of with baseball and football coaches on the Nebraska level, you know, they'll say, oh, Tony Davis. No, tough Tony Davis. No, I'm the untough one, which is kind of a double thing. You know, after Tony got in trouble with a lot of Husker people jilting him out of money and tickets and all that, you know, Tony has to explain, Oh, no. It's not as good, though, as when we went to the USC game and there were tickets or credentials left for Tony Davis, which it said Anthony Davis, of course, which is what it's his, you know, birth certificate. Tony went up, of course, to get the credentials. They said, I don't think you're Anthony Davis. Well, yeah, here it is. No, sir. You're Caucasian, and Anthony Davis played tailback for Southern California, and I'm sure he will be here to pick up his credentials. So that's just what's going on. Derek, we had a winner for the NCAA Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge. He's been at the top of the leaderboard before, going by the name of Knuckles. Keith Kofel, I believe, is our winner. Congratulations to Keith. One of Daddy's entries actually finished second. Doug hates the Big Red. But, of course, he's not eligible for prizes. The mailman came in with Daddy's Jackasses in number three. Nice job, Brent. T-Man from Riverdale and M. Grice, or Milone, tied for fourth. A whole bunch of folks, you can just check out the winners yourself. Of course, if you were in it, you know where the front page is on the ESPN website, Doug and Daddy. And, again, we are going to start giving out our prizes from Nebraska, University of Nebraska, the Doc Sadler signed basketball, the Nebraska basketball tickets for next year, Schroeder's Smoke Foods, the Tri-City Storm, Fanatics, Graham Tire, Big Apple. We want to thank all those fine folks for donating and giving us prizes, and they're all great prizes, and we will be getting those out. But if you are not signed up today to be an ESPN superfan, we won't be able to give you your prizes because we don't know how to get a hold of you. So make sure if you are on that front page of the leaderboard and are not a super fan, go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Right there in the upper left-hand corner, it says sign up to be a super fan. Takes you 2 minutes, and that way we can get your prizes. Congratulations, and we want to thank the over 360 entries for this year's Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge. And congratulations to Keith Kofel of Kearney. He is the winner. He is at the mountaintop. A ton of people took North Carolina, and Keith was the one that had it all right. He had them beating Michigan State in the final. A lot of people had those two going into the finals, and they ended up in the top 10. Thank Augie Garrido, Texas baseball coach. We also thank Glenn Snodgrass from Overton and Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, Todd Gatula for co-hosting today. Todd, it's lunchtime. Thanks so much for being in again.
It's always fun. Enjoy the sunshine.
Tomorrow, we anticipate talking with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Steve Stewart, from the Kansas City Royals and more. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.